Christ. He's verified and confirmed for all of history to know the validity of the principles and the truths to which we adhere.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
I think Paul is saying to us in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 1 to 7 that nothing that is easy is ever worthwhile. Or perhaps we could reverse that statement and it would be even more accurate. Nothing that is worthwhile is ever easy. And I think Paul has already illustrated that point in the first seven verses of 2 Timothy chapter 2. He's illustrated that point very clearly. Nothing worthwhile is ever easy. He's illustrated it metaphorically from the experience of the soldier, the experience of the athlete, and the experience of the farmer, the toiler. But having illustrated his theme by metaphor, Paul goes on to reinforce that theme from experience. And so in verses 8 to 13, he makes a threefold appeal to the experience of certain individuals or groups. In each experience, the lesson is the same. Very simply stated, it is this: no pains, no gains. No cross, no crown. He appeals first to the experience of the Savior. That's verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ. And then he appeals second to the experience of his servant, that is, of Christ's servant, namely himself. That's verses 9 and 10. And then he appeals finally to the experience of the saints in general, the common experience of the Christian populace. And that's in verses 11 to 13. Now let's look at the experience of the Savior. That's really all we're going to look at in this particular section of the narrative, but at least you have the basic outline and the flow of thought there. The experience of the Savior. Do you see that verse? Quite literally, Paul is saying in that verse, and I want to quote it to you very literally. It comes right out of the Greek New Testament. There are no variants in the text. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, of the seed of David, according to my gospel. And as I look at that verse, there are two emphases that stand out to me, and they're the things I want to share with you as quickly as I can. The first thing I see in that verse is Christ's preeminence. Remember Jesus Christ. Focus your mind upon him. Christ's preeminence. Remember Jesus Christ. The second thing I see is Christ's position. Remember him, one, as the risen one, raised from the dead. Remember him, two, as the reigning one of the seed of David. We don't have time to look at all of this, but we want to focus on this one facet of it. Paul has told us who we are to remember, Jesus Christ. And then he wants to tell us how we are to remember him. Remember, he is the risen one, raised from the dead. Now let's talk about this just for a moment. He's the risen one. What does it mean? Why is it so critical? Why is it so important? For two reasons. One, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is verification of our Christian principles. We know that the truth he espoused and taught is right, and the ultimate confirmation of it is the resurrection of the Son of God. It's the verification of Christian principles, the resurrection is, and beyond that, it is the confirmation of Christ's presence every day with us. Do you know that there were five great facts that were proven by the resurrection of Jesus Christ? Here they are. The first is that light is stronger than darkness. And there was Timothy, immersed in the darkness of the Roman Empire. But he had the light of life abiding in him. He had the Lord Jesus in him. And we're taught in the scriptures that light is stronger than the darkness and that the resurrection is the verification of that principle. Do you remember the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ? And throughout the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, there was this aura of light, this atmosphere of light. The Bible says the glory of the Lord shone round about them at the birth of Jesus. And in the ministry of Jesus, our Lord said in John 8 and verse 12, I am the light of the world. At the birth of Jesus and throughout the ministry of Jesus, there was this aura of light all about the Lord Jesus Christ. But when Jesus died, it was thought for three dreadful days that the light had gone out and that the powers of darkness had conquered the powers of light. Do you know what the resurrection is? The resurrection is the ultimate proof, the categorical demonstration that the powers of light always will conquer the powers of darkness. Timothy, I want you to be reminded of that. The verification of our Christian principles, Those mighty teachings and truths which I'm teaching you to hold on to, Paul says, those things for which you ought to be willing to die, we want you to know that our risen Savior has verified their credibility. Light is stronger than the darkness. There's a second thing that was proven by the resurrection of Jesus, and that is that truth is stronger than falsehood. When Jesus came into the world, he was said to be the true light, John 1:9. He was said to be the true bread, John 6, verse 32. He was said to be the true vine, John 15 and verse 1. And it was said that he was the very personification of truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, John 14 and verse 6. But in the trials of our Lord Jesus Christ that led up to his death, there was a tragic compromise of the truth. In fact, we're taught in the Bible the chief priests sought false witnesses, Matthew 26 and verse 59. The death of our Lord Jesus Christ was secured because men did not want their own false ideas destroyed. Had those men succeeded in finally obliterating the Lord Jesus Christ, falsehood would have been thought to be stronger than truth. What is the resurrection? The resurrection is the final proof of the indestructibility of the truth that we embrace when we embrace the Lord Jesus Christ. It is proof beyond question that falsehood and deception and confusion and error can never conquer the truth. And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. There was a third thing that was proven by the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is that goodness is stronger than evil. And we're taught in the Bible, Peter said of the Lord Jesus Christ, he went about doing good, Acts 10 and verse 38. Jesus Christ himself was so bold as to claim, I am the good shepherd. And he said, many good works have I shown you, John 10, 11 and verse 32. But in the death of Jesus, it seemed to the apostles and it seemed to all the watching world that the very principle of goodness had fallen to the ground and it had been destroyed. What is the resurrection? The resurrection is the final proof that the great moral principles of God's goodness can never be conquered by the powers of evil. There was a fourth thing proven by the resurrection, and that is that love is stronger than hatred. The incarnation was an act of love. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ was an expression of love. The death of the Son of God was a demonstration of love. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15 and verse 13. How did men respond to that expression of love? The response of men in the New Testament era was not a mere passive non-reception. No, it wasn't just a mere passive non-reception. It was an active, positive, hostile rejection. Jesus said, the world hated me. John 15 and verse 18. And Jesus said, the world hated me without a cause, John 15 and verse 25. The crucifixion of Christ was an expression of malignant hatred. What is the resurrection? Without the resurrection, it would have meant that the hatred of men had conquered the love of God. The resurrection is the triumph of love over all that hatred could do. It is the final proof that love is stronger than hatred. Every one of us needs to learn that principle. Number five, and finally, the resurrection proved that life is stronger than death. It's verification of our Christian principles. Life is stronger than death. It was said of Jesus, in him was life, John 1:4. And the life was manifested, and we have seen it, 1 John 1:2. Peter called him the Prince of Life. The archegos is the Greek word. The archegos of life, the trailblazer of life. He's the one who blazes the trail, who opens up the way of access into the presence of God. That's what the word prince means there in Acts 3:15. He's the archegos, the prince of life, the trailblazer that leads others to life. Jesus himself said, I am the resurrection and the life. John 11, verse 25. Can you imagine the utter despair of Peter's indictment? You killed the prince of life. Can you imagine the utter despair of that apart from the resurrection? The one who is the trailblazer to life, the one who leads us into the presence of God, the one who provides us eternal life, he's dead. Can you imagine the utter despair of that apart from the resurrection? If Jesus had died never to rise again, it would have meant that death could take the loveliest and best life that had ever lived and finally break it and finally destroy it. But the scripture says that God loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that Christ should be held by it. Acts chapter 2 in verse 24. The resurrection is the ultimate, final, categorical proof of the indestructibility of the life that we possess in Jesus Christ. So Paul says, Timothy, remember Jesus Christ. He's risen from the dead. Timothy, think of what you're facing there in the midst of the Roman Empire. And New Testament Christian, think of what you're facing here in the midst of this secular society. He said, you're facing the power of darkness, but the light is stronger. You're facing the philosophies of falsehood, but the truth is stronger. You're facing the pollutants of evil, but the goodness of God is stronger. You're facing the perversity of hatred, but the love of God is stronger. You're facing the pains of death, but the life of God conquers death. It's indestructible. Remember Christ, the risen one, raised from the dead. He's verified and confirmed for all of history to know the validity of the principles and the truths to which we adhere. And be willing to lay down your very life for those principles. Be willing to pay the price. Jesus did, and he's risen from the dead. It means one thing more, and I close with this thought. It means not only the verification of Christian principles, but it means the confirmation of Christ's presence. You know that's very important to me, to know that Jesus is present with me? I wonder if it's important to you. It's so important for me to know that Jesus Christ is with me. Paul says, even grammatically, the perfect tense, he's raised and he's still with you. Perfect tense means finished action in past time with continuing results. He's raised and he's still alive. To me, that's the great Christian inspiration. Sometimes we need inspiration. We need encouragement. Maybe you need it. Maybe it wasn't so funny when I said we want to hand in our Bibles or turn over our hymn books. Maybe that's just the way you felt. You need an inspiration. You need an encouragement. You need to remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, and he's present with you today. We do not depend on a memory, Paul says. It's not that we just look back to a historical fact, as critical and important as that historical fact is. It's a wonderful thing to know that Jesus Christ is alive physically. We do not depend simply on a memory of a historical fact. We depend on the power of a personal presence. He's here with us today. Jesus Christ is accessible to every man today. He's alive. He has power to meet your need, if you'll trust him. When a Christian is summoned to a great task, when a Christian is summoned to a great task that he cannot but feel is beyond him, a great problem, maybe he's called to endure a great affliction, he has a powerful, awesome ministry ahead of him, he cannot but feel it's beyond him, he must go to that task, to that ministry, he must endure that affliction or that problem in the certainty that he is not alone. He must realize that there is with him the presence and the power of the risen Christ. Remember that. Remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead. When fears threaten and they come, when doubts assail, when inadequacy depresses, remember the presence of the risen Lord. That's what Paul says to Timothy. And that's what he's saying to you and me. I wonder how many Christians have forgotten Jesus Christ, not academically or intellectually, but practically. I wonder how many of us behave so often as though he didn't even exist. We plunge recklessly forward in our lives, rarely if ever, consulting God, his word, or his will. Remember him, or it'll be devastating to your life. I wonder if there's some man, some woman, some young person, some child, empty and impotent, without meaning, without power to change. We want you to know that whatever the power which binds you, the power of the risen Lord is greater. It's omnipotent. It can extricate a man. It can set him free. You shall know the truth, and you'll be free. And Jesus is the truth.
Thank you for joining us for Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you would like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam 96921. You can call area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 260. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, email khmg@hbcguam.net. Coming up next time on Living Redemptively.
One, we ought to discern what it means to be a servant. And two, we ought to decide to become the servant of God that God intended for us to be.
That's coming up next time on Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.